Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Let's talk. John Brown. I have been looking forward to talking about this for at least a week. Around the world, in 80 record stores, a guide to the best vinyl emporiums on the planet. It's the new book by Marcus Barnes, well, much loved and well known music guru. If you want to know where to go and get techno in Berlin, or I don't know, you know, Colombian flute music in the States, here is your man. Marcus, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. For those who don't know who you are, just explain a little bit by why you are eminently qualified to write this book.
So I've been writing about music for 15 years now. I've been very heavily immersed mostly in dance music culture, but I've also been a vinyl collector for a good 10 years now. And I've got quite a collection, which I'm sat next to at the moment. And I get myself around, jumping into record stores. And I write about culture quite a lot. So I review music and I interview artists, but one of the main USPs is that I write about culture and music culture itself. So record stores are obviously still quite a fundamental part of music culture, although obviously there's been quite a decline over the last few decades.
Ah, yeah, but you said something really interesting there, which is you said you write about dance culture and club culture, and everybody's talking about, oh, the vinyl's coming back. Well, if you're part of club culture, spoiler alert, it never went away. And I'm talking proper rather than people who turn up with a stick and go and wave their hands in the air. Underground club culture has always used vinyl.
Yep, there are a lot of DJs out there who have never, ever stopped playing vinyl. And so, you know, maybe on the public side of things, there's been a decline because of the rise of digital media. But there are a lot of DJs that really hold dear to vinyl. And it's really crucial for them as I think, maybe as like purists, I suppose, to sort of keep that culture alive, because that's what a lot of the, especially older school DJs grew up on. But there are also a lot of young people out there that are embracing vinyl.
Yeah, because they're discovering it and they're thinking, oh, well, that's where that hook comes from. And, you know, I remember when sort of the urban classic scene was going in London in the late 80s and the early 90s, and people would turn up with these imports they got from Chicago, from wherever they'd been off, and they'd done, and this was before sort of Tower Records was even a thing in the UK, and they would say, oh, I went to New York and bought this, and it was like you'd rip off the covering, and, oh, you know, that smell of fresh vinyl and put it the first time around. And certain generations, that doesn't happen with streaming, does it?
Say that again, sorry.
That doesn't happen if you stream the latest Ed Sheeran.
No, Christ, no. Yeah, there's a real beauty in the physicality of vinyl, and I think that's what a lot of people really enjoy. Not just the smell and the feel, but when you're playing it, you know, it's when you're DJing with vinyl, it's a fine art. It really does take some hands, some minds to hands coordination, and you build very fine motor skills, and your ear becomes a lot sharper when you're mixing with vinyl as compared to when you're doing it with digital, which is a bit easier. And I'm not into the whole digital versus vinyl debate. I think whatever you play is great as long as you can entertain people. But when it comes to the actual with the fine motor skills, you definitely need to be a lot better with vinyl, because the mistakes,
yeah,
they show up so prevalently.
And you can't do the scratch with a CD as well. That's the other thing. So, I mean, the other thing is about record stores is it's the happy accident, isn't it? Because you go into a record store and you're looking for something, and if the record store know what they're doing, there will be things around it like that. You meet people, you talk to hopefully knowledgeable staff. I'm just thinking High Fidelity now, but you know, knowledgeable staff, and you meet the afflicted. You meet people like you, you know, the nerds, the people who say, I've got something coming out of, you know, Oakwood in the 70s, and they go, oh, what's that, you know, sample? And you build a community.
Exactly. And this is the thing that I really try to highlight in the book a lot, is that many of these shops, pretty much all of them, are community hubs where people go and hang out. If you're new to it, you get welcomed in. If you're a regular, you're part of something, you know, you're part of a social circle, and you get to know the owners. And for a lot of us, especially sort of back in the day, but even now, you'd get special under the counter things that nobody else would get because they would know your taste. And that is such a crucial element of record shops, you know, is that getting to know people getting to know you, and having some kind of like social connection, which, you know, is for a lot of us these days, including myself, you know, we can be quite siloed in our lives and quite isolated. So having these spaces that you can go into where you can connect with other music lovers, crucial.
And also, it's important that you say that it is a friendly atmosphere, because a lot of people think, oh, it's like going to a gym for the first time. All you've got is the Muscle Marys, and if you don't know your exotic B-sides. But there's that community. What I thought was really interesting is you've gone for some independent ones, some famous ones, yeah. Rough Trade, for example, you know, very famous. But you've not been done Inverse Snobbery, for example. So you've got, you know, HMV, you know, which is an absolute iconic. I mean, it's a big store, but still, it's still iconic.
Yeah, exactly, man. For me, it was really important to present a diverse spread of shops. I didn't want to just have like 80 electronic, underground electronic music shops, because I think that can ostracize people. And also, as an entry-level record shop, HMV and all of your kind of high street ones, they're great, you know. Like, some people might feel intimidated about stepping into, say, Hard Wax in Berlin, where, you know, the owners might be a little bit snobby because they're so dedicated and committed to the sounds that they're into, and you might feel a little bit kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can go in here, I don't know if I can talk to these people. Go to HMV, or you go to somewhere like that. And also, they're globally known record shop brands, and, you know, it would be silly of me to sort of leave them out. I think,
I mean, they've been there since 1921, for goodness sake. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
And also, you pick out sort of what they're, you know, we'll move away from making it completely UK based, but you pick out what they're known for. So if you know what the style of music is, so that must have been quite hard to categorize, or was it easier than you thought?
It was a little bit difficult. I kind of, on a personal level, I shy away from genre categorization as much as I can. I'm more about sort of vibe versus like putting something into a tight box. But, you know, if this is a guide to record shops, so I've got to try and give people some kind of direction and some kind of inkling about what they're going to be stepping into. So, it was quite difficult. You know, there's a lot of these shops are generalists, but then they have maybe like a large indie collection, or they have a large rock collection. Somewhere like Andra Jazz in Sweden, like, that's obviously clearly all about jazz. So that was quite an easy one. But yeah, it was such an interesting and insightful process for me, looking into all of the different places and doing my utmost really to help people to just know as much as they can before they get to the shop.
I can kind of get when you're sort of doing sort of Europe, because you've got, you know, Copenhagen, Swedes, Barcelona, obviously, Paris, all that sort of stuff, Berlin, etc. But then you get Africa. I mean, where do you start? I mean, come on. I mean, how do you break that one down?
Yeah, it's like one of the biggest continents in the world, if not, I think it is the biggest continent in the world. Yeah, that was a tricky one, and it was really difficult to try and distill, because I made a spreadsheet of like hundreds of shops, and I then had to sort of distill them down to 80. The one that I really liked was Jimmy's in Kenya, because it's just got a lot of character to it, and that was also one of the prerequisites for putting shops in there. It's like they have some character, or they have something about them. Or I was like looking on like Discogs forums, you know, Discogs is the big online marketplace for vinyl, and looking at what people were talking about and all the different shops that they were talking about or recommending, and Jimmy's came up time and time again. I actually still talk to Jimmy on Facebook sometimes.
Also interesting that you get the sort of the stores that were, or the places that were formerly behind the Iron Curtain, and that was like, it was dangerous to listen to music in the 80s in these places. So, you know, Warsaw, Prague, I mean, that's a really interesting one as well, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. It's interesting how different forms of media can be connected to politics, and how you never really think about it, because, you know, lucky for us, we've grown up in the UK or in the West, where generally speaking we haven't had to really deal with anything like that. But I know a lot of DJs from Romania, and, you know, before everything came down over there, vinyl was very hard to get hold of, and they had to travel over to like their records, and it's been the catalyst behind a very, very healthy DJ culture over there, and the Romanian DJs are very, very well respected, and it's because it was a scarcity for them back then, so they have that much more passion and drive and commitment to vinyl.
And when you're talking about record, I mean, there are some, like, was it the Music Box in Liverpool, which is basically a beautiful slice of history. I mean, just great stuff. Is that one of the prerequisites as well? So it's not just the vinyl sitting there, but it's the vibe. It can be important in the act, because remember, you know, you and I grew up probably listening to when you went out and bought, you know, music when it came out on the very day, and there was that big build up, and you bought an album and you listened to the album its entirety, so you got an idea, especially the concept album, about what they were trying to do. So those of us of a certain age can remember places like the Music Box.
Yeah, I actually was talking about this with somebody the other day, about how excited you would be to know that something was coming out on the Friday, and how you'd go down to the record shop and there'd be lots of people almost queuing up, or in a sort of scrum around the counter, trying to get their copy of this new record that had come out. Music Box is a really interesting shop, and it has a space where you can go and chill out, and it's not just like one floor. I think there's a couple of floors there. Very, very old shop as well. It's been around for a long time, and there are several of those in the book as well. Like, I think there's one in Malta which claims to be the world's oldest record shop. And there's a really interesting story of that one.
So I've come in to get my 78 change, that sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah. A blogger actually looked into all of the records that they could find in Malta to try and work out if it was actually as old as it claims. And I think they never actually got to the bottom of it. But it's really interesting that somebody did a bit of investigative journalism to try and figure out if it was the world's oldest record shop. But yeah, Music Box, I might be doing a launch event up there for the book. So if anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, it's M Golden Barnes, and I'll be announcing all of the different launch events on there.
We talked about Africa being a bit different, but also America, because you go to New York and you just get overwhelmed, don't you, about, you know, the clothing, you know, New York taxis, you know, and it's the music, and you've got Harlem and the whole thing. How on earth do you break country, western, west coast, you know, and not overlook, you know, Chicago and, you know, other little places like Austin, for example?
Yeah, it's absolutely impossible, man. And I think I've had a little bit of criticism from people saying, oh, you left this out and you left that out. And it's like, it's so difficult. I mean, even though record shops have been on the decline over the last few decades, there are still so many out there, and there are so many different genres and everything to try and cover. And you know what? I did my very best and but there was always going to be shops that were left out, unfortunately. But yeah, America's a really interesting place, really interesting place, and there's such a fertile culture for music and for record shops, and there's some really interesting shops over there. I think Amoeba is one of my favorites because it's just absolutely huge, as it would be being in America.
Yeah. What do you think the future is for I mean, a very good friend of mine, he reached the age of retirement, and rather than take up golf, he opened his own independent music store in Teddington, right? Yeah. Wow. And yeah, it's called, here's a plug, it's called Rowan Records in Teddington. And he does events, great coffee, has a, you know, sends out, you know, all the socials and stuff, record of the week, lets you know when stuff's coming. I mean, that's sort of what the independent bookshops do. Do you think that's the way that they're going to go, because it's to keep it, to get that community sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to have a little bit of something that allows people to feel comfortable coming into the environment. If you're serving coffees, or if you're doing something that little bit extra, then perhaps it just adds that additional element beyond the record shopping side, which, you know, is still, at these days especially, it's quite niche, isn't it, being a record collector, let's face it. So if you can open it up a little bit to people and serve up coffees or croissants or whatever it is, and do something that's, like, you know, a bit loungy, have, like, you know, have armchairs or something where people can sit down, or I don't know. I think I met quite a young guy the other day who's thinking about setting up his own record shop, and he was talking about a lot of different sides to it beyond just having a load of records for people to shop for.
So you mentioned a tour. You're doing a book tour, are you? You're doing a few book launches. Where can people? I mean, are you looking forward to that one? People have to say, "Oh, you forgot this one in Sheffield. It's a really good one." So, I mean, how are you gonna do the tour, Marcus?
So the idea is to stop off at a few of the shops that are in the book. So I'm still in talks at the moment and trying to firm everything up. But there's one in Bristol called Idle Hands who are open to it. We're looking at Dubai early next year. There's a shop over there called The Flip Sides. Big shout to Shady, who's the owner there. And we're also looking at doing one in Lisbon. So Music Box in Liverpool, Bristol, Idle Hands, Flipside Dubai, and Fleur Discos in Lisbon. But there may be another one. There's Christina in London, which I'm also going to be talking to. So fingers crossed we'll have about five different things going on.
So if people want to find out the Lisbon one, that's like 5 hours striking distance from where I'm sitting at the moment. So if people want to follow you on the socials and find out where you will be appearing, or if they're based in the UK, what's your social media, Marcus? Where's the best place to find you?
So across all of social media, it's M Golden Barnes, all one word.
The book is called Around the World in 80 Record Stores. You can go to the virtual bookstore that we have on our own website. If you click on that, a well-known delivery service will have winging its way towards you. The book is called Around the World in 80 Record Stores. You're going to have to do a second, aren't you? Because people are going to say you forgot this one. This could be the rest of your life, Marcus, if you're not careful.
Continuity, isn't it?
Yeah. The book is called Around the World in 80 Record Stores. It's by Marcus Barnes. Marcus, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning.
Thank you, man. Great questions. Really nice to chat with you. Really appreciate it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.